This is El Puente Podcast with
Kim,
Dave,
and Michael.
Conversations at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between.
We're stronger when we connect the POVs of POCs.
For those who aren't in Austin, you're missing out all the fun. South by Southwest, our annual, what would you describe South by as? Annual shit show?
I don't know. I mean, I've had some fun at some South by's. I'm not going to lie.
I have too. I think that...
It's a festival, right?
I think it's become something else that's a little bit contrived.
Really?
Like a caricature of itself.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now it's like, it used to be like these musicians getting together, and it wasn't that, I don't know if they've always had you have to pay to be in the showcase.
Right.
But these bands apply, they pay a fee to be a part of the showcase.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like what I understood about it before, it was just like musicians coming all over the world to share their talents. It wasn't like we're going to contrive a show based on these people paying this dollar amount and have this. I mean, it just seems kind of contrived.
The business side has taken over.
Yeah.
Well, for God's sake, I've been watching South by's for over 20 years. And you're right. Back in the 90s, I can remember... it was like you were describing. It was more of just kind of like this, you know, low-key bands would come from all over the world, and it was like a big party, and, you know, you have, like, bands playing, but, it, you know, all indie bands, you know, no one you really heard of.
But that was amazing about it. Like, I discovered one of my favorite bands and this was, 2001, maybe? One of my favorite bands, just by accidentally walking into a bar and being like, what is this?
And what was it?
X-Girl, that Japanese band that's like really out there.
Yeah.
Like the best live performance that I've seen at South by was them.
That's awesome.
For sure.
Yeah, but now it's all the big corporations come in and they set up stages and, you know, I didn't realize that bands had to pay fees now to be considered to even be in the festival. That's disappointing. And of course, it's ballooned into the filmmaking portion and the interactive, the technology. Mm-hmm. Now politics is a part of the conference, and it's just an overpowering, you know, thing. I mean, it's great for the local economy. It generates, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for the local economy. It's great for bartenders, for servers like myself.
Are you going to work that week?
No. For those who don't realize, this is the first week ever, I think, in South by Southwest history where UT and Austin Independent School District are not on the same schedule as South by. Normally, we have our spring break to coincide with that because a lot of students intern and they get... You know, they work for these venues. They make a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
It's great for UT students. But for some reason, some mishap, our spring break is a week after South by this year.
Mm.
So I'll be working my normal teaching
gig. That's right.
It's going to be
very strange.
Yeah. Yeah. It's someone screwed that one up.
Somebody screwed the pooch on that one.
Oh, so I was reading that it... Sorry, just to give you this information... it says here that you have to pay $250 cash as a band and $100 for a solo act or duo. Or you can get a free pass to the rest of the festivities, which can cost up to like $900.
Yeah. Have you guys ever gotten a badge to go to?
No.
I have.
Wow.
How much were they? Or did you get it for
It was
free?
Because I was performing.
Oh.
I performed with Alejandro Escovedo.
Yeah, I remember that.
And mm-hmm. I think I got free passes as a part of that.
And what'd you do with it?
I went to some show. I think I saw a blues piano. No, he was a steel guitar player. And he was amazing. I can't remember his name. But yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah, and I went to see.
I thought you were
going to
say I went straight for the booze.
that's what I heard.
And the free food. Don't forget the free food.
Well, you know, those were perks.
I thought you'd be like, I scalped that shit.
I sold it.
I paid rent.
Seriously, scalp some of those badges and make some money.
Yeah, no, they can go for over 1,000.
Oh sure, yeah. And you know, a lot of other people make money during South by renting out their spaces that mm-hmm. their condos they live in, or in some cases illegally the places that they rent.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to be able to do that, folks. Yeah. Don't
and,
do that.
And all those people are SOL because they won't be on spring break.
That's right.
And they will have to be here.
Yeah.
So they're losing out on money.
Everybody's losing out on money because somebody fucked up.
Yeah, they lost a lot of volunteer work from students, college students.
Yeah.
Who will be in class now.
Yeah.
So let's see how shitty the show can get.
Yeah. We'll watch you.
They'll probably figure it out. They'll
Should we
out.
Like go and do interviews at South By?
That means we got to go there.
Into the multitude.
Into the traffic.
It's kind of crazy because let's just describe South By for anybody who's never actually been able to attend. So in downtown, if you can imagine, every single street of your downtown, like we're talking, mm-hmm. what, 12, 24 streets mm-hmm. in total, mm-hmm. just become inundated with people, thousands cars, and thousands scooters. Everywhere you go, there's music playing. I describe it as like this huge cacophony of sound that just kind of hovers over the city for uh-huh. a week. It's like a den of just like sound. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And immobility.
And not being able to get
and
across
people
town.
People pay so much, you know? I mean, you know, I was reading an article that, you know, this one band, they're paying $500 a night to stay at an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And
for their big shot.
For their big shot. And they're not really getting money for these shows. It's not like people are paying them.
Yep.
Like they're doing these shows for free. They had to pay to be a part of it.
It's for exposure. Yeah. That evil word in the arts.
It's good for you. It's exposure.
Yeah, I've done a lot. I've that's what I tell people nowadays. Unless it's for like a big charity or something I really mm-hmm. believe in.
Yeah, likewise.
I'm not playing for exposure anymore. I put in my dues in that area.
Like, you're like, I would get pneumonia if I had any more exposure.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But we work, don't we?
Yeah.
We work because we have to.
Yeah. Because it is work.
Mm-hmm. Between teaching, which I know we're all really ready for a break right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
moonlighting
jobs like Dave.
Yeah.
How's that going?
I've been working really hard and just keeping my eye on the prize, which is really getting out of debt. You know, one of my biggest goals I've made for myself is getting myself out of debt finally. And doing so, I've been working this part-time job and I've just been throwing down money on those credit cards. And I, praise be, I've been watching a lot of Handmaid's Tale, sorry. I hope to be debt-free by the summer.
Yay.
And we're talking about as long as y'all have known me, probably, mm-hmm. I have had some form of debt, whether it be student debt, credit card debt, something.
Yes.
And to say that I can see the end date now.
Wow. That is that's a
really
beautiful
good.
Feeling.
But I was thinking, as beautiful as that feeling is, it's just going to be, I'm at zero now. Like, I dug myself out of the hole, but now I'm literally flat on the ground.
Well, that's okay. And then you keep, you know, this is where you start putting things into savings.
Yeah.
And then you get to choose more with what, you know, of what you want to do with your finances.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, financial freedom. We're on the other side of that right now. We have just got into a debt consolidation program and we're in it for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. We're going to have
to have. You're at the beginning of that tunnel.
Yes. Right. I'm beginning at the beginning of the tunnel. And I'm going to probably have to do a lot of summer jobs and put that into savings. But I am actually, thinking if I can rent a space in the 78704 area. And get some clients and get a bunch of clients. Maybe I can start filling my Saturdays around my gig schedule and Sundays and possibly segue out of public teaching.
Yeah, I think that's something you should have done a long time ago, actually.
Well, here's the biggest issue, and I know we can't get into the health insurance talk, but because of the fact that I have fibromyalgia and narcolepsy, no one is going to want to I'm afraid to look for health insurance outside of the school district because with my health issues, my premiums are going to be sky high. I may not be denied, but it's the premiums are going to be really high. And that's something that is not protected. You know, that we're not protected against high premiums for having health
issues. Absolutely not,
So, I would have done it already if it wasn't for the health thing. I mean, that's not why I don't want it to sound like I'm only teaching for the health insurance because I love the kids. I love teaching.
I love health.
Right? But, you know, to do a good job, I got to be healthy.
I like being healthy. Yeah. No, we totally feel you. Absolutely. If it wasn't for health insurance, I'd be a bartender right now full time.
Yeah, you're a good bartender, too.
Oh, thank you.
Even dealing with, you know, why folk.
Why people?
Why people?
Would you call yourself an alcoholic? Or alcoholic? As I drink this. Would you call yourself a workaholic?
Okay, Mr. Freud. Like, you know, it's like a funny word that's thrown around sometimes. Workaholic is like, it's like a take on alcoholism. But it really, really, really is a thing, and I really think I am,
What are the symptoms of it?
You know, that I joke about like, oh, I can't say no, but like it's serious. I cannot. I'm having a hard time saying no to project because like I thrive on the work. I get so much life out of it. But then I'm doing it to the point where like I'm exhausted. Yeah. And I can't.
I don't know if that's necessarily what you're describing is necessarily bad.
Well, here's where...
When do I rest, though?
Right. So here's the problem. Workaholics, and this is how I know I'm a workaholic, is in my idle time, I'm looking at my school email to see what work I can do. And that should be time I should be writing, doing something, having a meet some me time, going out. I could be spending that time looking at, oh, how can I get ahead at work or what can I do? You know, it's this obsession throughout the day of doing work so that you can be caught up. And you're never going to get caught up.
Yeah.
And you might as well take that time to refresh and reset.
Rejuvenate.
Yeah.
I know for a fact, just listening to you guys describe what a workaholic is, that I am not a workaholic. I realize that now. I work really hard when I'm at work. And then, like, say at 4:30 when school is over, I'm like that scene from the Hangover with the bad teacher. He's walking up to school and the kids are like, hey, Mr. Red, come on. He's like, it's 4:35. You don't exist to me. Like, that's me. Like, that part is done right now. Yeah. I will see you at 8:30. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I very much compartmentalize that. I can definitely turn that off.
Yeah.
So, you know, but back to what I was saying about you, Michael, it sounds like you're just really working hard with what you're passionate about.
Definitely.
And a lot of people aren't lucky to even be able to do that. So that's a good thing.
No, I hear you.
I think maybe if you weren't.
I feel like it's not healthy, though, right now.
I don't think so.
Do you think it would be healthier if you were doing everything that you were doing in the art world minus subtract out of your life the school stuff?
Yeah, you mean that thing that provides the money for me to live and do those things? That's the problem.
Well, but you could learn to say no for now to the people that approach you and say, I love that idea. Right now, I can't spread myself too thin. I want to make sure that I'm producing quality.
Now, some of these things are one-time things, though.
Is part of it that you fear that if you said no, the opportunity would go away? And maybe the opportunities would dry up from coming.
No, not per se. Like, it's literally like these things that are being proposed to me are really exciting, but it's like a certain concept. Like, hey, we're doing this show about da da da. I'm like, I would love to work on that. There's not gonna be another show about that again later or whatever. Right. You know. So Yeah. I mean, some of these do push me to make work that I was already going to make. It gives me a deadline. Sometimes they give you funds, which is nice.
That's awesome.
So,
well, maybe you say no less to school stuff.
I wish I could.
Is there a way you could say to the administration that puts all this on your plate, I'm afraid that the quality of the job you hired me is going to suffer. And beyond that, it's taken a toll on my health. And if I overwork,
yeah,
I'm not going to be able to be here for you guys when you really need me.
Well, and the thing is, I would definitely do that if they were not doing just as much, if not more, work than me.
Well, you know, that's their job as admin.
But I'm saying even like people that are doing the same thing as me. You know what I'm saying? Like people, everybody is like... Anyways, I would love to find a segue out of that, like Dave is intimating at. That would be amazing. But unfortunately, I'm not making enough money through my work to do that, to pay this mortgage.
And there's lots of artists like that, you know, who are musicians and all kinds of people, the creatives, who are going through the exact same thing. So speaking of job applicants, that actually leads us into our first story in Pop the News, shall we?
Pop it. So in the news, we have job applicants who were applying at IBM complain and like really go off on them for some racist labels that were included in that process. And it kind of makes you think, what is going on? This is the 21st century. This is like one of the biggest companies in the world. How can this still be a thing?
So what specifically happened?
So a gentleman named Alex Gao, a New York University computer science student, said that he was really offended when he went into apply and was forced to choose in the ethnic categories between yellow and mulatto.
Oh, my gosh.
And the application was like an online application form.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was for like a software development internship that he was applying for.
Wow. And so... yellow, mulatto. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of fearful what the other labels were on this.
I mean, we're used to seeing, you know, black, white, non-Hispanic.
Yeah.
Black, you know, it's weird. Other.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to actually have yellow and mulatto.
I know.
So what was
that? That is so antiquated and wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was IBM's reaction to that? Or what was their explanation?
Their spokesman, Ed Barbini, was saying that the recruiting website temporarily and, this quote-unquote, temporarily and inappropriately solicited information on job applicants' ethnicity.
What?
And that the information came from...
government classifications that were used in Brazil, South Africa. And so he was saying those questions were removed immediately when we became aware of the issue, and we apologize. We do not use race or ethnicity in the hiring process, and any responses we receive to those questions will be deleted.
Okay, so IBM is a huge company. Do they not have checks and balances on that?
On a computer based.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you. So, wait, we're talking about IBM, right? This is IBM.
Right.
This is a computer company. And they do online applications using software. And apparently if I'm reading their reaction correctly, their reaction basically says, oops, we got some stuff from Brazil and South America. We didn't really check it.
Well, South Africa, yeah.
From South Africa and Brazil. We didn't really check it.
Right.
And sorry for that. Am I reading that right?
That's what it sounds like to me.
That's why editors are important.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm glad that they hopefully deleted that.
Yeah.
And
quit being dumbasses.
The next story that we want to talk about this week actually involves a state senator from Arkansas by the name of Stephanie Flowers. She's a Democrat. She is, as you would imagine, one of the only black people to serve in that legislature in Arkansas, and she is the only black person on a committee of seven members.
Of eight. She's the eighth person.
She's the eighth member.
Yeah.
Seven other members who were debating their state's Stand Your Ground law, which, for those who don't know, lots of states have Stand Your Ground laws, mm-hmm. which basically state that if you are a person who feels threatened in public, you being, you know, legally allowed to carry your gun in mm-hmm. public, mm-hmm. if you feel threatened, if your life is being threatened, you can legally defend yourself. Right? This is the law that was used to kind of justify the
Trayvon
mm-hmm. Martin killing.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Florida, many other cases, right, where mm-hmm. usually yeah. white but people.
That, yeah, that's the one that stands out for me. Whenever I hear Stand Your Ground, I think of Trayvon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. And Zimmerman, right?
The guy. Yeah.
yeah. But as most people have figured out, these laws are basically really very obvious methods of controlling and scaring and terrorizing black populations. Mm-hmm. It's just basically an open excuse, in my opinion, for white people to quote unquote feel threatened mm-hmm. by a black person and shoot them.
Yeah.
Right.
But if that were the case, though, we'd see it all over the media, wouldn't we? You mean like we have for the past, you mean
like every other story we see? Yeah.
Think of how many we've just talked about on this podcast.
Sure.
Like people using their cell phone, or most, you know, recently a gentleman who was harassed by officers for picking up trash in his own yard.
Right.
You know, it's like, right. what is, anyway.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, the news really is that her speech that she gave to that committee really went viral. And you may have heard it already. We're going to play an extended piece of this speech that she gave here, just so you can really get a sense of what she was saying, what she was arguing. And it's one of those instances where you got to listen to what is being said, because she is literally laying the facts out on the line. This is what it's all about with this issue.
I'll be as quick as I can, as quick as it takes to kill somebody, I guess. You want me to be that quick. But, you know, as Ms. Fletcher pointed out, and it doesn't take much to look on the local news every night and see how many black kids, black boys, black men are being killed with these Stand Your Ground defenses that these people raise, then they get off. So I take issue with that. I'm the only person here of color, okay? I am a mother, too. And I have a son. And I care as much for my son as y'all care for y'all's. But my son doesn't walk the same path as yours does. So this debate deserves more time. I'm in Pine Bluff. We have killings regularly down there. Mr. Hunter knows, he's our prosecutor. Now, I don't know where the heck, I know where you are from, Gary. And I don't know really where Mr. Ballinger is from. But I can tell you that for a long time since I've been back here in Arkansas, I have feared for my son's life. Now, he's 27, he's out of Arkansas. And I thank God he is. When you're bringing up crap like this, it offends me. And then to limit the debate too, this is crazy. You don't have to worry about your children, Will. I worry about my son. And I worry about other little black boys and girls. And people coming into my neighborhood, into my city, saying they got open carry rights, walking down in front of my doggone office in front of the courthouse. That's a bully. Do I have a right to stand my ground with some crazy ass person walking around with a doggone gun? I don't know what the hell he intends to do, but I know I am scared. I feel threatened. Just like some of y'all walking around here up in the legislature with these damn guns. That, what's his name, Garner, came in here walking around here with a damn gun in his under his coat. You can see
Senator, you need to stop.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. What the hell are you gonna do? Shoot me?
Senator.
Senator, shit! What the hell? I'm telling you.
Did she say Senator sit? Wow.
Oh, God. I love
this. I almost started crying because it is so true.
Authenticity in that voice, right?
You can hear
every hear single word she is has true. Seen mm-hmm. all of it go down for real.
Mm-hmm. People that she probably knows, loves, you know, the history of discrimination in law enforcement and then into these...
And especially in Arkansas.
And then into these, you know, stand your ground laws, you know. And I love the fact that she said, you know, I'm glad my son does not live in Arkansas because of this foolishness.
Right.
Like she literally said right there in the chamber, y'all are foolish and racist, and I'm glad my son doesn't have to be exposed to this.
And I like that she put it right in their face. It's not your boys that you have to worry about. The statistics don't show your boys getting shot.
Yeah.
They show my people's young children.
Yeah.
Young black boys.
It's so important representation, you know. Having those voices in there is so important.
Yes, I'm so glad she's there and passionate and just keeping it real with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although the resolution that she was trying to, I guess, go for didn't pass, or the resolution she was fighting against passed, she made her case known before she walked out. Mm-hmm. She stormed out.
She made her point and... I think her speech may go down as like very important in the future.
Life is confusing. Sometimes you need clarification. Look no further than your fellow humans' tweets and memes and everything in between for life's sweet answers. And you no longer have to ask, what exactly do you meme?
By anonymous. Self-care is also addressing your own problematic thoughts and behaviors, removing toxic, not just challenging, people/situations from your life, holding yourself accountable for what you do and say, and apologizing authentically, doing your own self-work to be emotionally literate.
2 years ago, I had $24 in my account. Today, I have $17 in my account. I know you assume this would be inspirational, but no, it's not. I'm still broke as fuck.
By anonymous. Ideal date. We go get tacos. I eat 13. You are very impressed and not at all grossed out.
From Middle Age Riot. The only way Paul Manafort could have gotten a shorter prison sentence is if he'd also shot an unarmed black man.
From @Alfred_Mejia. Gay culture is liking a boy, but he likes another boy, and that boy likes another boy, and that boy likes another boy, and no one likes each other. LMAO.
What I regret most in my life are failures of kindness by George Saunders.
From It's Jeff Tiedrick. Trump, you goofy moron. You could have quietly lived in the shadows and laundered Russian mob money and fucked porn actresses to your heart's content, but you needed to be the center of attention, and now the whole world knows that you not only are a criminal, but a stupid criminal.
From R. Buckminster Fuller. It is now highly feasible to take care of everybody on Earth at a higher standard of living than any have ever known. It no longer has to be you or me. Selfishness is unnecessary. War is obsolete. It is a matter of converting the high technology from weaponry to livingry.
At Gossip Grill. Coachella is just Urban Outfitters the musical.
From @MariaApazC. Una vez caí borrachísima a la casa de unos chicos que a los que había visto dos veces en mi vida. Me acostaron en el sillón, me sacaron los zapatos, me taparon, se fueron a dormir y uno se quedó al lado mío por si me pasaba algo. No te violan por borracha, te violan por violadores.
From @B_IronReich. 20 states now take away the driver's licenses of people who fall behind in their student loan payments. A measure no doubt designed to ease the transition from debtor to fugitive.
@AB_Spice. Bro, gay men still being a little surprised when you treat them with absolute kindness and respect as a straight guy, tells me all I need to know about their experience with us.
From at Aeromante, la eliminación del porno de Tumblr es una de las pérdidas más grandes de archivo desde el incendio de la Biblioteca de Alexandria. That is all we have for What Exactly Do You Mean this week. If you have any suggestions, please post them on our Facebook, connect with us on Instagram or Twitter, or via email at bocamadremedia@gmail.com. And now for Opinions Are Like Assholes. Everybody got them. Some stink. We have Dave, who is speaking about a topic we've been wanting to bring up for a while now.
And now it's the time.
Yeah, I think it is time.
I think the dam has broken on so many issues involving sexual abuse, sexual molestation, all kinds of sexual malfeasance going on here. We were just talking about this before the show about who is the astronomer that you like so much?
Oh
yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Say it again.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Who was recently, of course, accused of some, you know,
sexual misconduct.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like everybody, you know.
It's so painful.
Well, despite facing potential legal action from the Michael Jackson estate, HBO went ahead and premiered a film that debuted at Sundance not too long ago called Leaving Neverland. It's a documentary, 4-hour documentary, about Michael Jackson and his alleged abuse of two underage boys, one named James Safechuck and the other Wade Robson. Now, it should be stated before we get into this that in an earlier court case against Michael Jackson, if you guys remember from 1995 when he was up for child molestation the first time.
Yes.
Right? Or the second time, rather, when he went to court, right? I think it was 1995, maybe it was 2005. Either way, these two people testified that that Michael Jackson had never abused them in court.
Well, and of course, they were children at the time.
Well, but their testimony was that these two people were not abused, and they testified under court with that. Now this documentary is coming out, and they're saying they're speaking their truth, and they are sharing their story about, yes, they were abused by Michael Jackson. And apparently the documentary is riveting. Apparently the documentary is like the one that came out about R. Kelly, right?
Yeah.
On Lifetime. People are having emotional reactions to this documentary. People are being triggered. People are up in arms right now, and it seems like the dam is broken on Michael Jackson and the allegations. Just a couple of examples. So radio stations have pulled his music in Canada and New Zealand.
Wow.
The LA Lakers removed MJ from all his music from their arena shows. Wow. And remember, Michael Jackson lived in LA.
Yes.
And, you know, it goes on from there. The Simpsons, that famous episode with The Simpsons where Michael Jackson actually did the voice. That has been removed. The owner or the makers of The Simpsons said that they just no longer could ignore, you know, the allegations. So I guess the question is it time to mute Michael Jackson?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it time for us as a culture to mute Michael Jackson?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, here's my thing. I am completely ignorant of the legitimacy of all the allegations and
against him, or just in general.
No, against him. Okay. I mean, I've heard everything, but I have not read the details. I haven't seen the documentary, and so just from my initial gut reaction, you know, the music itself, I think is beautiful. And like Heal the World and Man in the Mirror, those are songs that I think speak to the best of who he was as a person and the best of who we are as people when we can be introspective like those songs promote. I believe that we, in general, in our society, need to separate the product from the person a lot of times. Because, I mean, if you go back to Elvis and some of his racial remarks, I mean, people would never stop listening to Elvis or doing Elvis impressions, but he definitely had periods in his life where he was openly racist.
Sure.
And said very...
Well, look at John Wayne, too. Some recently resurfaced footage of John Wayne came out where he was talking about homosexuals and, you know, people of color and obviously racist, obviously homophobic language. And people were, like, saying essentially the same thing that you're saying. Like, you have to separate, I guess, sometimes the art from the artist, the damaged person that's making the art, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's even a distinction in that because it's, okay, we're talking about songs that have been out there for... Long before we knew of these allegations.
Right.
But what about an artist who is still making work?
Like R. Kelly.
Exactly. Oh,
well, AKA and that to me...
Mute R. Kelly, Kim? Mute R. Kelly?
The way I feel about it is still you separate the product from the person, but you don't want to promote and fund somebody
exactly
who is currently, you know, hurting, who's immoral, basically
hurting women. Yeah.
And so
just a little bit of news as we go to air on this, or as we record this podcast, I don't know if you guys just saw this because it just broke, but apparently there is a new tape that came out that allegedly shows R. Kelly with underage children. Was just discovered, a third tape. And it's being put out by lawyer Allred, who's representing some of his victims.
Wow.
Gloria Allred, famous attorney. So apparently there is another tape out there that's just come to light showing him having sex with underage
children. Gosh, you know what? I think I need to think on this more. I'm just telling you my gut reaction because there's so much. I mean, John F. Kennedy and his extramarital relationships things like
you're
that.
Not wrong.
Some of these,
but as far as we know, those were consensual.
Yeah,
I think that's a difference.
What about just on MJ alone, Michael? What do you think about separating, as Kim suggests, and other people have too? I mean,
and it's hard, like I said, with this music especially that's been in our life for so long. I mean, you and I, we were in Mexico when he died.
Yes.
And it affected us,
I remember,
more than we, I think, could have ever anticipated. Like, especially being out of the country, it was just like so removed and like, this can't be real.
Oh, and that very night or that very weekend, they had this huge drag show and all the drag queens had did homages to Michael Jackson.
Yeah, they dressed like him.
Like, it was like, you just saw the reach of his influence.
Yeah.
We were in another country and yet.
Yeah. And so when I have that, you have that music that's in your life for so long, it's hard to let go what some of that means to you as an art. In fact, just recently for the Black History program at my school, we had all the 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders singing Man in the Mirror. And it was still, even knowing this crap was lingering out there about him, it would still move me.
Right.
But then, like, in my head, I'm thinking,
how ironic.
Not only how ironic, I have a bunch of kids singing it. God.
Sure.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, you know, it's still, and even to them, it had a meaning. Like, the kids were more alive than I've seen them.
Yeah. I believe we always put these stars on a pedophile. I almost said pedophile. On a
talk about
on
Freudian
a pedestal.
Slip there, Freudian slip.
And they become.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I have to say that I am subjective because, of course, I don't want him to be guilty.
Yeah.
Of course I don't. But at the same time, I know that stars and presidents, we put them on this pedestal and they become ideals and icons of something that doesn't really exist.
Of course.
Yeah. And so, but what is real is some of the work that they produced.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it is the best of who that person is.
Well, and you know, the thing too that's so hard about Michael Jackson, going back a little bit to what you were saying, Mike, you know, he's been with us our whole lives, right?
Like,
especially as a black
we
man.
We grew up with him.
We grew up with him. We grew up with the Jackson 5. Like, we watched his whole life in front of us. And so, from the black point of view, it's also just kind of almost tearing down a black icon, In fact, T.I., rapper T.I., actually vocalized his support for MJ, which was kind of surprising to a lot of people that T.I. would come out so forcefully in support of MJ. But apparently on Instagram, he said he was criticizing the documentary on HBO, and he slammed them as like an attack on black people culture. This is specifically what he said. He said, quote, "Dead men can't speak. So what was the point again? Destroy another strong black historical legend? It's several examples of pedophilia in American history. If y'all pulling up all our old shit, we got to examine Elvis Presley, Hugh Hefner, and a whole slew of others guilty of same, if not more. But why us all the time? That's an agenda to destroy our culture." So,
you know. I mean, I see where he's coming from, but I mean, it is awful that it's like these people of color that are coming out first. But I think, no, we should. Instead of saying, you know, we shouldn't do this to Michael Jackson, I think he should be more advocating for, like, okay, let's do look into Elvis Presley and Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
And then make sure they're treated the same way.
Yeah, that's what I agree. Flip the script, and instead of seeing where the discrimination, you know, just focusing on the person who's being discriminated against, equal the playing field. You know, by doing, you know, just holding people accountable to being fair in their assessment of people's horrible behavior. I mean, the thing. What I don't agree with T.I., I mean, I don't believe that we can say, oh, well, he's a pedophile. Well, so are all these other people. I mean, I just feel like
that's where it falls apart.
If you're a pedophile,
well, no, he said in the second Instagram post, he said to that point, he said people always say, why did he spend so much time with children? As though the idea that he didn't want to have sex with them is incomprehensible. It's such a slap in the face to the countless men who work with or for children and child welfare with their well-being at heart. These are assaults against our culture. Make no mistake about it. So he's kind of saying that thing we hear a lot of Michael Jackson supporters say. It's like they really want to believe that he could never want to have sex with these kids. That everything that he did with them behind closed doors was just childlike and innocent and non-sexual. You know what I mean? And that's what we want to believe, right?
Right.
We want to believe that he was just this like 50-year-old man child who just wanted to play and, you know, build Legos and whatever the fuck else. You know what I mean? But I think that thing, and I don't want to judge because I don't know the truth. I don't want to judge.
Right. We haven't seen the documentary either.
We haven't seen the documentary, but I think you can only use that like argument that he was a man child argument for like up till like maybe Bad era, and then after that, like, he's getting into his 50s. You know what I mean? He's like
45.
But
if you never have
it, why are you inviting kids for sleepovers and sleeping in the same bed with them if you're a 45-year-old man?
Okay, I say this though. There's a lot of psychology to the fact that he did not have a childhood, and the childhood that he did have was really
abusive. Yeah.
And so behavior of a 45 or 50 year old person in a normal with a normal childhood would reflect different than his. So I'm not saying that excuses anything. I'm not even saying he did it.
Not at all.
But I'm saying that it's hard to hold a normal, everyday 45 to 50-year-old man to the same standard as Michael Jackson because, you know.
Okay. Do we have any other instances of people who grew up the way he did doing the same thing?
Oh, I mean, we have childhood stars.
Yeah. I just can't think of any offhand. That's what I was just asking.
I think that people who were abused as children end up being abusers.
But
I was abused
as a child, and I was not an abuser.
Sure, and not everybody is, but the data will support that. A lot of people who end up becoming abusers themselves had something in their life that also triggered that.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that experience. Yeah. And so, you know what I mean? And that's like...
But we can't hold that past of what was done to him as a direct correlation to assume
Shirley
he has.
Can. Surely so, can. Yeah. Surely can.
Well, what I would want to say, though, is I feel like we need to hold this to the same standard that we do other Me Too.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to listen to the victims and take them at their word if there's, you know,
Do the victims have an obligation to provide proof?
Well, I would think absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Kavanaugh confirmation. Like,
I mean, but here's the thing. I think the proof was there, but it was glossed over.
Of course.
There
yeah.
you go.
Oh,
and
definitely.
And so that's the thing. I mean, I feel like this should probably be shelved until we have seen the documentary.
Yeah, I was
or
gonna
that,
say, I
wanna, till we have more mm-hmm. legitimate.
Well, let's do that. Let's find a time when we can watch it and then. Yeah. And we'll come back to this topic.
And yeah. we'll talk all about it again.
Yeah.
The internet isn't just for porn. It's a place where we can tell ignorant folks to step off and give them a clapback heard around the world.
So this week, Gayle King delivers our delicious clapback heard around the world, directed at one of the people that we like least here at the podcast, Jesse Waters, who I don't know if you've ever seen his what he does on Fox. Do you guys ever watch Fox?
I try not to.
When was the last time you watched Fox News or Fox anything?
I actually will, while I'm changing channels, I will stomach it for about 5 minutes and then I have to click.
I got
something
click
else.
Yeah, I don't have Fox anymore. Have you ever watched Fox, Mike?
I've seen it. Yeah, but I can just for my own mental health.
It's funny because I watch shows on Fox, and they are so contradictory. The shows mm-hmm. are so contradictory to
their audience. Yeah,
yeah,
their conservative.
Yeah,
audience.
I was just having this conversation the other day, actually, with somebody. Like, it's their you know, television show programs are completely antithetical to the ideals of the people
yeah.
who watch Fox News.
I know, it's yeah. crazy.
So weird.
Yeah, it's almost as if conservatives were like hypocritical in their decisions.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... no, but... So Jesse Waters, he got his fame from being like this man on the street, and he would go and, you know, argue with people on the street from the conservative point of view, and he was really big on the Bill O'Reilly show back mm-hmm. before Bill got, you know, out of there for sexual misconduct himself.
Speaking of.
And so he took over the show called The Five. Well, long story short, so Jesse was doing the show The Five, and they were talking about the R. Kelly interview mm-hmm. that was done by Gayle King of CBS News.
And Oprah's BFF.
Oprah's BFF, who in her own right is a good reporter.
Hell yeah.
A good interviewer.
Hell yeah.
She did an interview that is just like a masterclass in getting information, getting to the facts, staying calm under pressure. By now you've seen the memes, right?
Oh, it's, yeah. So good.
Of him being a freaking idiot, you know, and she's just sitting there with this grace.
Poised.
Just, oh, anyway. Goosebumps, girl. But anyway, Jesse, he was reacting to the interview, and he's saying, wow, you know, she did such a good job. She definitely made up for the terrible job she did the week before with the Jesse Smollett interview. Now, if that sounds wrong to you, that's because Gayle King didn't do the Jesse Smollett interview. That was Robin Roberts of ABC News. So,
oh, I wonder how we confuse them.
I wonder
because we all look alike. All look alike.
He literally said that on air, and it was so awkward that Dana Perino, who is one of the guest hosts on the show, she actually corrected him on the air in mid error. she's like, "That's Gayle King. That's not Gayle King who did that interview. That's Robin Roberts who did that interview." And they're like, this is like this awkward moment on air. Anyway, so Gayle saw this. She saw it. And of course, speaking on the Colbert show.
Yes.
She had something to say in return. Did you guys see that?
Oh, of course.
Michael, read what she said. This mm-hmm. is too good.
So what she says in the email is, "Hi, just wanted to thank you for letting your colleague know that Robin Roberts and I it was a great compliment, but thank you for letting him know that we're two different people. And could you let the rest of your colleagues know that all black people do not look alike? Could you please just share that?
Wow! Woo! Dana was falling like, ouch. Dana, sorry.
That was wow. Amazing.
It just shows their ignorance. It's just like, it's the depth of ignorance. It's just layers and layers. And it's just hilarious that, you know, people take them seriously. And that's like case in point right there. Like, you can't even keep your black people straight.
Your famous black people.
Your famous black people.
These are the famous ones.
We're not that innocent. And to prove we don't just talk about why people, we sometimes have to call out our own peeps and say, ay, mi gente. This week, this ay, mi gente isn't coming from one of us. It's actually coming from your friend of mine, who is also a listener, who I just had a conversation with this weekend about an episode that we did about the Grammys.
Oh,
you yes. remember?
I do remember yes. that conversation.
And the specific topic from that was that people were upset that J-Lo sang for the Motown tribute. And Kim and Dave were both adamant that it was all good because, you know, Motown was music that was made to bring people together of all kinds, all colors. And so it was fine for J-Lo. Well, my friend wanted to say, ay, mi gente, to you guys. Like I said, she's also African-American. And so...
And her, she wasn't feeling that.
She wasn't feeling it. And I love it. I love it. And and she's going to be on the podcast very soon, y'all.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. She's very awesome. But anyway, so her point was that it's not bad that it was J-Lo, but that it was out of all the many, many still living, still able to perform artists from Motown... None of them were invited to perform on this huge stage in front of, you know, millions of people watching. But instead, they had a lighter-skinned person standing in their stead.
Mm. I mean, I think that's a fair point. I mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. do. But the slant of the story, it seemed like the complaints weren't saying that specific thing. They yeah. were... If they were saying it that way, mm-hmm. I could have
agreed
with that.
Sure,
yeah,
but that's not what they were saying. Mm-hmm. So
the story was basically like poo-poo on J-Lo for doing this performance. I think is the way I took it.
Yeah,
it's like, let's not, okay, I accept all your criticisms and all those points are totally valid, mm-hmm. but why are we poo-pooing on J-Lo for doing it? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Why are we holding her accountable? You know, if it's the system that needs to be reevaluated.
Yeah. The producers, but, maybe.
Yeah.
The producers, the people who put the show together.
So I didn't bring up that point because it didn't have that slant on it. And maybe mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that point specifically because of the slant that of all the complainers, you know, that it specifically seemed to target J-Lo. Now, granted, I do not prefer J-Lo singing. I don't feel like her voice fits Motown at all. And... You know, maybe they...
So your critique is specifically to J-Lo.
Yes. Specifically to J-Lo.
Yeah, I mean, I personally feel like they could have picked someone better, but I don't feel like that she should be the target of people's criticism.
And vitriol.
Yeah.
In many cases, vitriol, you know.
Yeah, and then... And playing complete devil's advocate here, you know... Maybe their point was, wouldn't we be more, you know, bringing in the young people of today? You know, maybe they were trying to do a new take on Motown from, like, you know, trying to bring in the youth of the day. Because that's what Motown did.
Now, in that case,
trying to bring in the youth of the day and bring them together. So.
But then, if that were the case of them, why would they not bring somebody who's, like, super fresh?
Yeah.
So J-Lo.
No, that's true.
She can't sing and she ain't fresh?
No. I'm not being ageist. I'm just saying as far as like her musical output, like
you and know, her music sucks. No, I'm kidding.
I know you're saying, she's not a new artist on the scene.
So that's true.
If they were trying to do what you're saying.
I think if they were trying to do what you're saying, Kim, mm-hmm. I think they were trying to bridge that gap though. They were trying to find somebody youthful that you know, the youth kids could still see is like, oh yes, I know who this person is.
Right.
But who can also reach that Motown. You know who?
Yeah.
Because that's J-Lo's generation too. You know what I mean? I think they were trying to find that artist that bridges those.
Okay. Who could have done a better job at that?
Oh, I don't know. Justin Timberlake. I understand your friend's
point. Guess maybe she would think, you know, Jennifer Hudson would like come in there and slam it. Yeah. But here's the thing, Jennifer Hudson, as amazing of a singer she is, reaching the youth today, people that are her fans, I would say are not that younger generation.
But would she have been better than J-Lo? I mean, J-Lo doesn't have a super current following.
J-Lo is a superstar.
Yeah.
We don't recognize it, but she is a superstar, you know, because we don't listen to her music. But she, you know, she's a well-known superstar.
Of course.
So, you know, it makes perfect business sense to me why they chose her. That's all I'm saying. But to your friend's point about her legitimate criticisms about why they wouldn't pick somebody of color and all that, that's totally valid.
I agree.
I mean? Mm-hmm. I totally agree with all of that. Yeah. You know, we always want to elevate people of color who are really in the shit, who are really in the trenches. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Not to minimize Latin Americans' experiences and blah, 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 and play this kind of like equating game, because I'm not doing that.
No.
But Motown was black music first. Mm-hmm. It is black music. I get that. Mm-hmm. And so I understand the criticisms of that. Having said that, Motown's mission, and I still go back to it, was to bridge communities.
Yeah, it was a crossover.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that it's great that white people sing Motown music, because that's one of the things that helped alleviate and try to, you know, that's one of the things that helped to reduce racism in this country was white people listening to black people perform, listening to black singers,
sharing spaces with them,
dancing with them, fucking with them, listening to their music. That is what helped get us to where we are today. And we still got a long way to go. So let's not also dissuade or discount the importance of building bridges.
Yeah,
right?
Building bridges.
Like, let's fucking really, really focus our fire on the big shit. There are kids in cages right now. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not my only point about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. So forget we said anything.
This week, we continue to test Kim's linguistic labors in Spanish and focus on her lecciones learned.
Oh, Lord. I'm looking and okay. I'm like,
How would you say that in Spanish?
Oh, Lord. How would you say, oh, Lord?
Oh, wait. Oh, mi Dio?
You're in the right city, but the wrong neighborhood. No, it's adios. Not adios.
Right. Adios.
And I know this because my mom
is it stressed on Dios
all the time. Adios.
Adios.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're deviating from the fact that we're covering more memes. I've been really enjoying seeing Kim get these memes and using like the visual clues of the photos and stuff to figure out the context. Okay. So I picked two that don't have any photos this week.
Of course,
they're all these are two text based memes.
These are just text based memes.
All right.
Que nadie te diga que no puedes. Aunque,
you're slipping into French. Slipping into French.
Aunque.
Aunque.
Oh, you know what? It's spelled wrong on the meme. That's why.
It is spelled wrong. Well, I think it's just cursive. But it's just really bad cursive. It's aunque.
Aunque.
There should be a U in there.
Yeah. Aunque.
Aunque seas medio pendejo. I know that's a bad word. That's like a bitch, right?
Something like that.
You can.
Tú puedes.
Oh, tú puedes. Okay. Which I know is you can.
Yes.
Yeah, good. I got that one.
Yeah, that was actually really good. Okay, so
break it down.
Now yeah, go ahead and break it down. Remember remember that word is aunque.
But that's however or but.
Yeah.
Or even though.
And seas is some conjugation of no, right?
Seas is a conjugation of ser, which means to be.
To be.
Ser.
But so what is aunque?
Oh, you just said it. Didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this case, it's almost like even though.
Okay, so even though to be a middle bitch. medio okay, is middle, of, right? Middle
bitch. So
the middle bitch.
Well, not middle, but like it's medio means middle, but in this case it means
they're not a high up on the food chain. They're
somewhat. It's halfway, like being somewhat, halfway. Somewhat, yeah.
They're right. Somewhat halfway a bitch.
Yes.
Not a bitch, like an idiot, like a dummy.
Yeah.
Oh, halfway and
kind of.
What is the Spanish word for bitch? Perra.
Or cabrona.
As una perra, una cabrona, something like that. Okay. Yeah. So good, you got that part now. Now get the whole thing.
Yeah, that's why I worked from the part I knew. So something you can't. Que nadie. I see. I don't know what nadie means.
No one.
But no one. Okay, and I don't know. And I know that diga, it must be some it's conjugated.
Yes, it's a conjugation of what word? Diga?
That's a hard one. That's a very.
It's a regular conjugation.
Nothing like the original word.
It's from decir. Decir.
Decir.
Decir. Which
is that to decide?
To say.
Oh, to tell.
To say.
Or to tell.
To say. Yeah.
Okay.
Que nadie te diga. Que no puedes.
Don't tell that you can. You can.
Close. Que nadie, which means no one. Que nadie te diga.
Okay, no one can tell you you can.
That you can't. No puedes.
No one can tell. Okay, no one can tell you that you can't. Because you are somewhat of an idiot.
Uh-huh. Tú puedes.
You can.
Okay.
You're
so
close.
You're close.
Very, very close.
So now let's break it down. Que nadie te diga que no puedes. So let no one tell you that you can't do it.
Even though.
Aunque seas medio pendejo. Even though you're half of an idiot. Tú puedes.
Yeah.
You can.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's right.
Look, so, at all the, look at all the pendejos that have done really well.
Yeah, they're running the country right now. So, okay. So, que nadie te diga que no puedes, aunque seas medio pendejo, tú puedes. Okay?
Okay.
Right, go ahead and say that again. One more time.
Que nadie te diga que no puedes. Aunque seas medio pendejo, tú puedes.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now the second one, the second meme. Go ahead and I guess read that one first. Okay.
Dejarse querer también es de valientes. I'm pulling up the Rolodex with nothing.
Okay. So dejar means to leave. So you can like yo dejo una cosa.
Yeah.
Or to leave it.
Yeah. In this case, it means to let.
Or to let go is also a form of dejar. It's like letting things go or leaving them behind. Mm-hmm. Okay. So dejarse querer.
Leave out what you want.
It's reflexive.
Oh, you want to leave?
So dejar means to let.
To let.
You know, or to leave. And se makes it reflexive, so it's...
So let go of your desire.
To let yourself.
Let yourself.
Oh, let yourself.
Querer.
Have.
To. Can't. Well,
let or to have
love. Not to love. In this case, it's love.
Okay, let yourself love.
Mm-hmm. To let yourself love.
Oh, to let yourself love.
También no, es well, no, de no. valientes.
Here it means to let yourself be loved.
Uh huh. Mm.
To be loved is a valiant thing.
You're very close. Okay, so dejarse querer means to let yourself be loved. también es de valientes, is also for the brave. Or like, what's
the
word you
use? To let yourself be loved is also for the brave. Yes. I said valiant because that's what it reminds me of.
I mean, it's a synonym. So.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, cognate. Yeah, this meme,
I love that one.
This quote is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's also a perfect example of why Spanish is such a hard language to learn for so many people because it does have these very kind of like very amorphic syntax structures. Well, you know, this is very fluid language. You can mix and match and Lego-y and like the Jenga. Then you can move the blocks around and the pudding pops.
It's, oh my God. To me, it's simple it's easier to speak because all the vowel rules are more consistent than like English. Mm-hmm. But because the words can mean so many different things.
Yeah, like for example, querer in this instance. Querer is one of those verbs that means to want, but also means to love.
Oh, what's también again?
Also. Yes. So this was Lecciones Learned off the rails.
Totally off the rails. We have to cancel out the darkness with some light and focus on positivity and gratitude in the world. So we end with
S-O-S-O-S-O. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this week we are giving a toast to doctoral candidate Henry Willis, who is leading a team to develop a mental health app, is specifically making this for African-American young adults. In an interview he did in the Daily Tar Heel, the school paper, he said, "The reason I'm targeting towards young black adults is mostly because this is one of the groups within African Americans that are less likely to receive access to effective mental health treatment. And it's also the time period where just a lot of negative mental health symptoms start to get worse for a lot of people." I can only assume he's talking about living in Cheetos America or Cheetos US.
It's been bad for my mental health, that's for sure.
Well, and just in general, there's a lot of things in the black community that, you know, culturally we've been told to sweep under the rug, you know, sexual abuse things, you know, that, you know, I know I was raised, you know, you don't put your business out there in the street. So if you have an issue, you don't share it with anyone. You deal with it. Mm-hmm. And a lot, you know, especially too with some of the spiritual background, you know, you're supposed to pray away those issues.
Okay.
I'm not speaking on behalf of all black people, but I'm just saying my experience in my culture.
Mm-hmm. And it's prevalent. You can say that it's prevalent. I mean, we could say that. I would say that, you know. Yeah. Certainly my experience too.
Mm-hmm. So it's nice to be able to have someone that says, hey, let's confront some of these things.
As a priority.
So according to the Daily Tar Heels, it says that the app really hopes to get give people a basic understanding of mental health and some things that they can do to cope with their negative mental health symptoms. So, for example, you know, for me, going to a therapist has been a really great thing. I was very privileged to have the ability to go to a therapist and work through a lot of things as a gay black man. And when I was no longer able to attend that therapist because of scheduling problems, right, conflicts and time, I immediately was looking for black therapists in the area.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if there was an app that I could use to just access, you know, black therapists?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if his app even does, even that itself would be like a great thing for black people. Because there is something to be said about going to therapists and mental health experts who can actually specifically address and talk to your needs based on your racial, ethnic,
and
identity.
Right? Yeah, and it's important when you're going through therapy that you feel like the person guiding you can empathize with your experience.
Yeah, and we know that African Americans generally, and followed by Latinos, generally have the worst health outcomes of health just in general. Mm-hmm. So any kind of health outcome, African Americans are always at the bottom, and that includes mental health.
Yeah.
So I think it's great that this man is really trying to find a solution to a particular need,
mm-hmm.
and doing it through something that he's passionate about, which exactly. of course is technology.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a lot to celebrate, and hopefully he is successful, and hopefully he helps a lot of people.
Definitely
with his work.
Yes.
So let's raise our glasses
and
toast to him.
Yay,
Henry Willis. And hopefully with your new app, you're going to help a lot of people. And we're going to say
S-O-S-O-S-O.
Thanks again for listening to El Puente Podcast, an intersectional conversation where all our voices can meet.
Don't just sit there. Stand up. Don't just listen. Join the conversation.
On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or you can email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
Gail King didn't do the Jesse Smollett interview. That was ABC reporter Robin Givens. Or excuse me, Robin Roberts.
Robin Givens. That'd be a whole different story.